But I'll go get started by at least introducing the video, just for the record. My name is Vernon Fleming. I'm interviewing Vita Scott. And how do you pronounce your last name? Vita, how's your last name pronounced?
McKay.
Can you hear me okay?
Did you get it?
Yeah, look like, yeah, your video is close. It's Nekay?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay. Hold on 1 second.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, back again. Had a little weak signal there on the internet.
Okay.
Make sure I got your last name. It's Nekay?
Nekay,
okay.
Yes.
So I'm interviewing Vita Scott Nekay, who is a senior at the period of integration of Louisiana County High School in fall of 1965, and was the first African-American graduate of Louisiana County High School in 1966. So welcome, Vita. And if you take a moment just to give maybe 1 minute introduction of yourself, brief background.
Okay, this is Vita, and I have lived in Virginia and in Tennessee and New Mexico and in different places also in the world, Thailand, Japan, and Albania, and Mexico, and I was a teacher in those countries, and I lived, it's also on Guam, and wow, that was lovely, and I was a nurse there, so I'm a nurse as well as a teacher, but I'm retired now, and I have, three lovely children, a son and two daughters, and they are teachers.
Wonderful. So,
and they have lived, all over the world. And so anyway, but as for me, I'm enjoying New Mexico right now and a wonderful life. Very, very blessed.
That's great to hear. Well, let's get into the Freedom of Trust program. Wanted to try to have you go back to what led to your decision to leave A.G. Richardson and transfer to Louisiana County High School back in 1965 as a rising senior.
It was so exciting for a change. It's like, we had been waiting for a change in equality for so long, all my life, And I would see that, and it just made me so upset, that we were treated, differently or thought of, differently. And we shouldn't have been, because we all were, children of God, I used to always think. And something was wrong with that picture. So when all of a sudden the opportunity came for me to sign up, I mean, it was like, it was history changing, and I wanted to be a part of that.
And so did anyone convince you, or just did it on your own when the opportunity became?
I heard them talking about it, in the assembly, and it was so ripe and timely or something. And I just wanted to go and do it. And I was a stutterer. I still am, but then I couldn't even say my name hardly. And I said, I want to do it, And I was, I guess was blessed that I could do it.
Now, did you talk to any classmates, peers about it? And
oh yeah, and they were gonna go too. It was, five of us all together at that time. That was going, and they had signed up also. And all of a sudden, school started in August or September, I guess. And, you know, they didn't show up. Those little rascals. And I was by myself because I had no intention of going alone. I really didn't. And so anyway, and I was shocked, you know. I said, oh, my God, you know, I'm not going to have a buddy. I mean, you know, a Black buddy anyway.
So at any point did you think about going back to Richardson and, you know, withdrawing from Lewis County High School?
No, but because I couldn't. I knew that, I mean, I couldn't. I mean, at that time in my life, I think if I had died, that would have been the only thing to get me out of that school.
Okay.
Because I knew I had to stick it out. And that was hard for a 17-year-old person. And I knew I had to, though. And I was a senior also, and the first one. So it was a lot of pressure. And, you know, and that was on me personally, though. Nobody pressured me to stay there or anything. But, you know, I knew I had to. And that was a wonderful thing to know, because I knew that, and I had a strength that I didn't have, that, you know, something that was stronger than me was, you know, keeping me there and keeping me safe.
Okay.
And I knew it was God. I mean, I knew it, you know.
Yes.
And so I couldn't explain that or express that, I guess, but I knew. And so.
Now, I know your younger brother, Walter, came over. Yes. Also. Was there any family discussion about doing it? Did your parents, how did they feel about it? Were they concerned?
Yeah, mother was real concerned that that I was alone. And she was worried about my speech also, that I was going to have a hard time. And so she thought if I had a buddy with me, it would help. So somebody to, you know, ride on the bus with. So my, you know, poor little brother was nominated. He said, sure, I'll go. And he is a mess still to today, okay?
Yeah, I remember Walter well, and
you know, I told him about you.
Okay. No, I just knew he was just extremely intelligent, bright, and just so
yes.
much courage. That he never gave up in gym and other places too. I just had greatest respect for him. Think back to that. Did you all ride the bus to school?
Yes.
Tell me about that experience when you first got on the bus.
It was terrifying. It was a sea of white faces, and they were looking at us, but kind of funny, and we were looking at them funny, you know. And so it was like, oh my God, is, you know, people that I saw in the community, you know, or I saw them in the town, but, you know, I never had an interaction with them before. So it was interesting and a little scary, like, oh my God, what are we going to do now? But they were fine.
Okay.
They didn't say anything. They just looked at us funny.
So you were able to get a seat on the bus?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Now, you arrived at the school.
Mm-hmm.
What was your reaction when you stepped off the bus and into the hallway?
It was a complete sea of white faces. It was like, oh my God. You know, I didn't know there were so many white people in the world, you know, until I saw that. And I was, you know, I guess excited, and I was scared to death. And then and a girl that I had met, you know, the summer was, you know, Sarah Phillips. And so, and she was there. Vita! Vita!
How did you happen to meet her? You said over the summer. How-
I met her. It was a Head Start program.
Okay.
That my mother was involved with. And she and her family had, you know, just moved from, you know, DC that summer. to live in Louisa. They got a house, and I think her father was a retired colonel in some, I guess the Air Force or whatever he was. Anyway, and he was a teacher in Louisa County as well. And this was Sally's first year to be in Louisa. So anyway, and we had met that summer, and she was so unprejudiced, and she had lived, every place in the world almost, And okay. So, she didn't have a problem with, just about anything. And so she and I connected. And she said, we'll see you the first day of school. I said, okay. So anyway, and that was a blessing.
Good.
That was another God thing. You know what I mean?
Yes. It all part of his plan.
Yes.
I guess that first day, we kind of went to the auditorium and probably had the welcome speech by.
Yeah, it was a welcome speech. And I sat down and all the seniors stood up. And they wouldn't sit down. They were protesting.
Protesting?
Okay. I guess because I was a Black senior in their school, I guess.
Okay.
And they just stood up, on the side. And it was 100 and whatever of them. It was a bunch of them. And it was, Sally and myself, sitting on the front row looking silly. and all the other seniors, stood up. So I just said, oh my God, what have I done? It's going to be a long year.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, I was there, but I don't remember that part. Or maybe I had no clue what was going on. So.
Yeah, the seniors, were at the front of the auditorium. Had, place. Yeah. Mm. To be in the middle front.
Okay.
And anyway, and I just said, oh my gosh. And I pretended it didn't bother me. I was cool,
So as you went to classes, what was that like as you interacted with teachers?
It was okay. I mean, as far as I remember, their teachers were okay. I mean, they were like, resigned to their lot. I mean, the change in the society or whatever that was happening right now. And they were fine. I mean, I think. And so, we were numbered placed, alphabetically and all. And in two classes, I was with, Sally, but she was, really, really smart. So she had a lot of, advanced classes.
Okay.
So I didn't see her, but a couple of times a day, and at lunchtime in the cafeteria.
Okay.
But otherwise, I mean, they just looked at me funny, I guess. But they didn't stand up, at least in the classrooms. Okay. So.
Do you recall if any of the teachers, offered any assistance or asked how you were doing, or made any contact with you outside of?
I think so, but Mrs. Gill was my English teacher, and she and I connected, somehow. She felt sorry for me or whatever, and Mr. Knapp, and there was another, I liked him because he had been in the Peace Corps. And he showed me the world. I mean, he would talk about, being in Africa, being in different places in the world with his family. And he had, pictures. And I just saw, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. I said, oh my God, it was so exciting. And so, I had never thought that I could live in other countries before. And and all of a sudden it looked like it was a possibility. And another teacher that I remember is Mrs. Lancaster.
Yeah.
She was my geometry teacher. And she was, I liked her too a lot. And especially when I found that, I was good at math and good at science. I didn't even know. I didn't know if I was going to go there and fail the senior year or not. But, I did okay.
Good. Now, speaking of grades, how did you have any significant change in grades from what you were doing in Richardson versus Louisa?
I think I was doing better at Richardson.
Okay.
I was like, A, B, occasional C student. And so at Louisa, I was basically at first, C, 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 C.
Okay.
I wasn't failing though, but I wasn't, a number one student. But towards the, end of the school year, I got a B in chemistry, a B in geometry. I got an A in English.
Okay.
And so I came on up, and it's like I kind of learned how to learn though. And I didn't know how to study. It's when I got there. I mean, I didn't at all. And so it was like, luck that, I did as well as I did, I guess, because I didn't have study habits that were good. And, and we were so busy in the country. I mean, we had, pigs and everything else, to look after and chickens and stuff. And, and so we had a lot of responsibilities as kids, and studying was the last thing on the rung. I mean, the ladder, and everything. And you kind of and I would study on the bus or whatever, and try to do a homework real quick on the bus.
Right.
And so it showed up, in my grades, especially Richardson.
Okay.
And so I realized. At Louisa County, I was going to have to improve on my attention span,
So you mentioned, Sally was real friendly and nice. Now,
yes.
Were any kids who were not nice?
Most of them ignored me.
Okay.
They just ostracized me. They didn't speak to me. If they saw me coming, they would turn the other way. Or if Sally and I would be in the cafeteria, and the seniors had a special seating because we had risen to the heights, and so I would walk in with Sally, or sometimes without her, and get my lunch, and they would see me sit down, and they'd all stand up and go someplace else. And so, I was there by myself at all these tables, and I would pretend, oh, I don't care and everything. And I said, God, this is so hard. And I said, I should, leave these people in peace, but I can't. And I said, but the more you do that, the more, I can't leave. So, if you guys, I would shape up a little bit, I would go by my merry way.
So during that time frame, and again, as the year progressed, did anyone in the community, someone at church, pastor, or teachers from Richardson, anyone reach out to you to ask how
Nobody
you were doing?
Did, and I kind of worried about that. It's like, nobody came to the school to check on us that I know of. Did you have the same situation?
Even asked my mom. I said, I asked her, did she have any influence on my going? She said, no. And she said, well, I don't even remember asking you what your experience was. I said, no, you didn't, Mom. So yeah, it's very simple.
It's like nobody cared. Yeah. It's like, out of sight, out of mind.
Everyone assumed that we were happy and,
And It was interesting, you know. I went to a Richardson. I mean, I saw everybody. It was some kind of event anyway. And this was after we had, you know, graduated. And so I saw them. They said, "Vita, how you doing?" And I said, "I'm fine." I said, "You know, I graduated." And they said, "Of course we did." And they didn't even know that I wasn't there.
Wow.
I just said, "Oh my God, I
So,
was suffering horribly, and nobody knew, and nobody cared, because you know everybody's, you know, into their world, into their lives."
right.
And so that, you know, helped me though. And I said, "Oh, so I'm not so important." I said, "And that's a good thing to know."
Okay.
And I just said, you know, "And I forgive you people for not even caring." And you know, and I used to wonder if the principal would come over and, you know, check on the students, you know, see if everybody was okay and everything. And I wondered if he ever called and, you know, checked on us, you know, so.
So along those lines, so you didn't have any contact with your former classmates during the school year?
Nobody.
Okay, that's interesting because as I encountered folks who I went from elementary school straight to high school, but the folks I encountered would ask me, you know, why did you go to that white school? You know, who do you think you are? You think you're white now, but it was almost a sense of resentment that I made the choice to go. And several other folks shared the same thing that they felt ostracized by their former classmates that were at Richardson for leaving Richardson. So it was kind of a no man's land of, you know, not welcome at Louisa and feel, you know, that we were being, you know, trying to be something else by making the choice to go there. So that's interesting. As far as we kind of talked about your unstructured time, study hall, and going back to as you went through that senior year and you looked at your white peers, did you feel inadequate in any way, be it economically or intellectually at all, compared to the average white student?
I knew I was. I mean, you know, I mean, you know, we were poor kids, you know. I mean, I was a poor kid. You know, I didn't have a lot of real nice clothes, and you know, they had, you know, really nice, you know, Pendleton skirts and sweaters and stuff. And you know, real nice, you know, shoes and their hair and stuff, you know, was so, and you know, makeup and everything was perfect, you know, I thought anyway. And I felt, you know, inadequate in that way. You know, mostly it was appearance stuff. But as far as academics, you know, don't believe I felt inferior. I felt like, you know, I didn't know how to study. So I knew, and I didn't have a place to, you know, study at home. If you know what I mean, it was, you know, six of us, you know, so a bunch of kids in a four-room house, you know what I mean? And you know, we didn't have a lot of time, you know, to study as well. And as far as that, but you know, I thought that I was as smart as they were. A couple of times, you know, Sally, you know, took, you know, notes and stuff, and I didn't know how to take notes. And one time she and I were studying for a test, and she said, "Well, Vita, use, you know, my notes." And I said, "Okay." And I said, "Boy, this is so organized. My goodness." So I, you know, studied, you know, in the library with her, and we were calling each other and stuff, you know, the terms and stuff. I took the test, and both of us made the same grade.
Oh, wow.
And so the teacher said, "You must have cheated."
Really?
And I said, "No, I studied, you know, Sally's notes." And she said, "And you guys got the same one wrong." And so she said, "You had to have studied." And Sally said, no, I mean, you had to have cheated. And so, and I said, no, I said, you know, I studied. And the same thing happened with me in chemistry. At first I was, you know, barely making it, you know, C's and C's and a D occasionally. And all of a sudden I remembered Mr., you know, Knuckles. And he taught me, you know, algebra. And he was a fantastic teacher for math. And anyway, and all of a sudden, in chemistry at the white school, I saw math. And I said, oh, I just have to think, you know, math. And guess what? All of a sudden, I was making B's and A's and B's and A's. And he asked me, you know, are you cheating? And I said, how was I going to cheat? You know, and so who was I going to cheat on, you know, with, you know? And I just said, no, I studied. I said, you know, and I got it. It's like a light, you know, turned on all of a sudden. And I just said, wow, it was wonderful. And so, and he started helping me a little bit then.
Okay.
And then he saw that I was smart, I guess you would say. He said, oh, you are worthy of helping, you know, I guess.
Did any of your other teachers offer help like he did?
In geometry.
Okay.
Uh-huh. She saw that. And all of a sudden, again, it's math again. And I started learning those theorems or whatever you call those and stuff. And I started getting it. And I would study on the bus, you know, frantically study. And I would pass the test all of a sudden. I was making A's and B's. And she was, you know, you understand this? And I said, I love it. I love geometry. And I started seeing, you know, geometry and everything. Oh my gosh, that wall and this and that.
That's cool.
And that was fun. But as far as the other teachers, I don't remember them.
Okay.
So they must have been kind of, you know, status quo, you know, I mean, I don't know.
Okay. So. Were you following an academic program or were they a business?
Yes, program?
Academic, okay.
I was academic, yeah.
You know, being as your senior year, typically you would spend some time with school counselor to talk about, you know, plans after, you know, school, college and career things. Do you recall what kind of advice or counseling you received from the school?
Yes. Counselor? When they realized that I was smart, and so and they did a bunch of intelligence tests. I mean, I had tests galore. That they had tested the, you know, low students, and they tested me. You know, and I had just a battery of tests, and. I just remember, you know, because I stuttered so, you know, badly, I couldn't communicate with them. I mean, I couldn't ask them a question. I couldn't even get a question out, you know. And, you know, and I was on my own, you know, JoJo. I was on my own.
Wow.
On my own, you know what I'm saying? And so, and I never asked them anything. And so the guidance counselor and a man from Richmond, you know, tested me the last time. And, and you know, and he came back in the guidance council and told me that I had such a high, you know, IQ. And they said, you can go any place if you wanna go to school. I mean, you know, so and I said, okay, I couldn't even talk, you know, but anyway, and they said, and you will have therapy, said, you know, and that'll be a part of your package, you know, you'll have therapy. And he wanted me to go to VCU. And at that time, I was so traumatized in life. And I just said, I couldn't stand to go to a school with all those white people. And I said, I just have got to be around some Black people for a little while. And so I didn't. He kept asking me, you know, or UVA. He said, you know, at that time, UVA was a boys' school. So I would have had to have I've gone to a Blacksburg, I believe it's where they had the sister school or whatever.
Okay.
Go to school, and I wanted to be a nurse, and they wanted me to go to VCU into the nursing program and have, you know, therapy and stuff. But I would have to live there, and I just knew I wasn't equipped emotionally, and I just said, I am almost a crazy person right now. I really am. So I found an LPN program in Charlottesville. It was Burley High School and UVA.
Okay.
So, and I said, you know, that is what I want to do. I knew the program was, you know, really small, and it was Black. So, and he told me that the guy from, I guess he was from the, you know, a department of, you know, disability, and my stuttering was, you know, considered a disability.
Okay.
So, and he said, okay, you go to, you know, the LPN program and you finish it, then you decide where you want to go. He said, and we will pay for you 100%.
Wow.
And that was amazing. I mean, you know, and I said, okay. And so anyway, but I messed up and got married. It's after I finished the LPN program. Darn.
No, all part of the big plan, so.
And then I had to start paying after that.
Okay. But
no, and I'm still paying. So anyway,
okay. that's wonderful. And no, it's good that this person, I guess, was part of that came in that was giving you the advice. He was out of Richmond then. He was not.
Yes. Okay. Was out of Richmond.
And so the counselor you were working with at Louisiana High School, do you recall who that was?
I know it was a lady.
Okay.
And she got me signed up for the LPN program. She did all of that, and they paid for it. I mean, the Richmond people paid for it. Mm-hmm. They paid for speech therapy. It was 3 times a week at UVA. And so I would go to Burley High School and come back and go to, you know, speech therapy.
Okay.
And, you know, and I mean, my parents, you know, couldn't have afforded, you know, tuition as well as therapy. And that was a lot in, you know, in those days. But, you know, it was never a problem. I mean, you know, because of that.
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, being that you were a senior, and seniors, you know, tend to, you know, attend all of the games, football, basketball, and go to dances, and of course, homecoming dance and prom. Now, as a senior, did you have any thoughts of, well, first of all, did you go to any after-school activities, any games or sporting events?
No, most of it, to go alone was kind of boring, and, you know, and was scary. So I went to the prom, but a lot of things that were canceled because the principal said a couple of times, his name was Mr. Martin, and he was so concerned the Blacks and the Whites would get, you know, together, whatever that meant. And I said, what does that mean? The Blacks and the Whites are gonna get together. So a lot of functions, you know, were canceled. As far as I knew, a lot of students, you know, were fussing about it because of fear. And I was saying, it's, you know, one little senior and nobody's looking at me, you know. You know, girls or boys, nobody's looking at me. And anyway, and they were scared. So the prom came along and they had talked about, you know, canceling it. And so, and people were just, no, you can't cancel the prom. And they didn't. So the juniors and seniors went to the prom.
Okay.
And that was wonderful. And as far as sports and stuff, I might have gone to a basketball game because, you know, Sally was on the basketball team.
Oh, really?
So I may have gone to, you know, one of the girls' basketball games. I don't remember exactly though, but, you know, most of them, I mean, I went home and did my chores and went to bed, you know. I didn't have time for all that stuff, you know.
So there was no homecoming dance?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
They canceled lots of stuff that year.
Okay.
And the kids were, you know, rightly, you know, very upset about that, you know.
Okay. Now, I'm sure you probably had classmates that talked about Friday night dances at the Fire Hall. Mm-hmm. Did you hear about that? And did you have any interest in joining any classmates?
Maybe if that was another senior that was Black, I would have been. But, you know, with me alone, I mean, I didn't care, you know, what they did, you know. And I know they did, you know, some things. And, you know, at their homes and stuff. And of course, I wasn't invited. They didn't even know me. So, and I didn't feel bad, you know, about that at all. Okay. I mean, I just wanted them to leave me alone. It was fine.
Now, when you were at Richardson, did you belong to any clubs?
Everything. I belonged to everything.
Okay. So when you went to Louisa, did you have any interest, desire to join any of the organizations?
They made you join at least one because you had to. So I joined the Dramatics Club. I mean, now I couldn't even talk. Okay, a Dramatics Club. You know, think about that, Vernon.
Did we say they made you?
No. They encouraged us.
Okay.
Every senior had to join a club.
Okay.
Something, and they would give us a list of clubs, you know, choose one that you want to join.
Okay.
And everything. And so I said, you know, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Okay. Dramatics.
So you attend those club meetings? Was it doing school?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Uh-huh.
It was, you know, once a month or something or whatever. Yeah. And they had put on, you know, plays and stuff.
Right.
And I would, you know, do behind the scenes stuff, you know, would help with the set and you know, stuff like that.
Okay.
And that was fun. And, you know, but, you know, I had no, you know, interest in, you know, doing more than that.
Okay. So at Richardson, what clubs were you part of there? I know you say everything, but.
I was the Honor Society. I was Dramatics Club. I was in the choir. I was, you name it. I mean, it was, we had some kind of an exercise thing. It was called athletic something another.
Okay.
And I was, you know, good with, you know, yoga stances and stuff. And I was in that. And I wasn't on a basketball team or anything. I was, you know, too short, you know, 4'11". No, you know, nor could I play basketball or anything. And we didn't have, you know, football at AGR, I don't think.
No.
So we just had the girls and boys, you know, basketball teams. And I went to, you know, lots and lots of games with my grandmother and my mother. And that was so much fun. And, you know, dances and stuff we had at the school. And, you know, and I attended those, you know, with my mother and my grandmother. They would come.
Did you miss any of that when you went to Louisa?
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, I didn't want to either, though, because I was the only one. I mean, it wasn't fun if you're going to sit there and, you know, not even dance. I mean, you know, who's going to dance with you?
Right.
I mean, I guess I could have danced with me, you know. So anyway.
Well, good. Mm-hmm. Think about, okay, you were older than, you know, the rest of us. So you kind of had the experience of being around Louisa. at the time. So when you think of outside of school, downtown Louisa, not sure how much time you spent there, but what was your reaction during that time of being able to go into stores and, you know, freedom to shop and go into buildings? Any recollections from that period, 65, 66?
The only recollections I have of that is that you knew your place. You know what I mean? You know, I knew that I was Black. You go in a store and you were careful. I know my parents, you know, taught us, you be nice, keep a low profile and shut your mouth. And luckily I stuttered, so I never talked anyway. So, I mean, and I just, you know, smiled and was nice most of my life, okay? Because you had to be. And, you know, if you you did that and you were a colored child or whatever, I mean, you were accepted. And, you know, I never had a problem going into a store or whatever. I mean, that I know of, you know, with, you know, mama or daddy. And, you know, and they were really nice, respected people in the community. So, and as long as you kept your head down and shut your mouth and don't ask for anything, you know, you were fine. And so that was the way, you know, I was raised, and I'm sure you were also. Yeah. I mean, you were raised, you know, you know, nobody cares about your opinions. Nobody cares if you want to protest about something. I mean, who are you going to protest to, you know? So you know, you just, you know, were a nice kid. And, yeah, you know, and nobody ever said you can't come into our store, except a couple of times there was, well, this was later, and there was a bathroom. I had to go to the bathroom, and they had an indoor bathroom. And of course I couldn't use it. And they said that there's an outhouse down there. That's for colored people. And that is when I said, I'll just hold it. Thank you. That's okay. And you know, that book was hard. And now this was in the 70s though, was when that happened.
Really?
And that was in Louisa County. Yes, we stopped at a store. It was my husband and I, because you know, we lived in Washington, and he was a major in the Army at Walter Reed. And so, and they told me, no, you can't use our bathrooms. And this was like in 72, 73.
Really?
And I just said, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. And I said, gosh. So, you know, and that was as far as Louisa in the 60s, there were colored people stuff and it was white people stuff. And you saw it. And that was what you used. And so, you know, and you didn't ask any questions about it because what, I mean, you know, who are you going to ask, you know, right, what you going to say, you know?
Yeah, during the mid-60s, 65, 66, when we integrated, there was a whole lot of civil rights movements going on down in South Mississippi and mm-hmm. Alabama, Georgia, things of that sort. Were you kind of conscious of that? Did you hear much discussion in school or in the community about the civil rights movement and what Martin Luther King and others were doing?
Just on TV. And, you know, in church and stuff, you know, they would talk about equality as far as the kingdom of God, you know, equality of mankind, you know, and all of that. And I used to just, you know, pray. I said, you know, God, I mean, you know, we are blind and, you know, we've got, you know, blinders on as far as the color of a person, you know, I know in Louisa County, and this is my, you know, point of view, most of my family and your family also, you look white. I mean, but you're not white. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
My father and his, you know, sisters and all, you know, were, you know, light skin and, you know, and, but they were black. And so because of it, you're treated, you know, differently, you know, like you are a second class, you know, citizen. And, you know, and I used to always think from a child, that ain't right. So something about that was just not right. And it still isn't.
That's true.
Nothing has changed.
So just to kind of wrap things up, how do you think that experience of going to Louisiana High School, being in that environment, impacted your life?
It changed my whole life. It really did.
In what way?
For me, it was a wonderful experience for my growth. Like I said, I saw the world and I realized that I was smart. And, you know, I didn't maybe, you know, prove it on a test, but I was intelligent. And so I learned that there because of all those battery of intelligent tests, which, you know, made me kind of mad. I mean, you know, they thought that I was stupid and they're going to take all these tests, you know, it helped me. And I saw that, you know, I could attend, you know, major universities. I knew that then, you know, without money. and later on I did, you know. So, and it changed me. I mean, and that whole year of not having contact with my peers, my, African-American, you know, peers, it helped me somehow. I knew I was gonna have a different life. I knew I was gonna have, you know, different opportunities. I knew it. And I said, if I can hang in there and, you know, watch my thoughts and watch my words or whatever, I said, I'm gonna have a different life than I possibly would have. And I knew it. And so that experience for me was, I mean, it was wonderful. It was so hard and degrading in some ways, but it was so wonderful in other ways because, you know, I grew, I realized, you know, it's okay if you don't have friends. As long as you have God, you know what I mean? As long as you have yourself and you have, you know, God. I mean, you know, you didn't need no one else. And I learned that year. I mean, it was fun. I didn't have, you know, friends and I wasn't in the crowd, you know, or whatever. And it was so wonderful and liberating for me. And I am grateful.
Well, that's wonderful. Now, compare your experience to that of your children when they were upperclassmen in high school. What do you think you gain that they may have missed by, assuming they probably, you know, went to an integrated school and not even aware of, you know, integration or segregation, what that was all about. How would you compare your experience to?
Well, it's interesting, and my children would tell you this. Our experiences, you know, were similar, actually. We lived in Tennessee. My husband had a pediatric, you know, practice in Tennessee. And it was a lot of prejudice there. I mean, a lot of, you know, discrimination. It's like it was still, you know, back in the 60s almost. It felt like that. And this was late 70s, 80s. And, you know, some of the public schools were kind of rough there. And I said, oh no, I'm gonna put my kids in private schools. but guess who goes to private schools? Mostly white people.
Okay.
So my kids they often were the only blacks.
Really? Just
so it was so funny almost. I mean, they had, you know, similar experiences that I did. And you know, they didn't have, you know, boyfriends because they were black, you know, or whatever. And so, and they said, you know, Mom, he messes up. He messes up. And so, you know, they went to high school at in Nashville, and, you know, and that was a drive from, you know, Lebanon, Tennessee, you know, to Nashville every day, because I wanted them to have a good education, you know, and I forgot about the social part. But their, you know, learning though was similar to mine. That they saw the world, and they didn't have a lot of, you know, black friends at all. And you know, I mean, you know, probably none. And they could, you know, count as, you know, friends in Lebanon. And you know, and we went to church in Nashville. And that was a white church, would you believe? And, you know, it's like decisions that we were making was crazy, but you know, it wasn't though, it was right. And you know, because I would, you know, try to, you know, go by the spirit, you know, what I was feeling I had to learn or to, you know, do at the time. And so a lot of their experiences were my experiences. And you know, except my kids don't stutter.
Okay.
They, you know, speak beautifully, and they are wonderful teachers. And so anyway, and they have seen the world also. And for some reason that was important. So, you know, to go places and, you know, live in the Middle East and, you know, do things and meet all kinds of people and not be afraid. And so if nothing else, I pray they will not be afraid, you know, of anybody, of anything, because they are not alone.
That's true. Thank you. Now, Vita, is anything that you want to share that I may not have asked that you think would be important for others to know about your experience?
Just that it was a good experience. It was a hard experience. And just because something is hard and degrading or whatever, those words are just a thought. And so, and to always know that, you know, you're not alone. And, you know, and people that you need will come your way at the time that they're supposed to come your way. And you'll have help. I mean, you always will. You just have to, you know, trust in something bigger than you. And, you know, and I mean, people will come and situations will come, opportunities will come, and you take them and you do it. No fear. But lots and lots of love, lots and lots of forgiveness, and just keep on going.
That's wonderful. Well, in closing, I talked to several of the others, and they would love, once we get past this COVID situation, is to have a face-to-face get-together reunion. Oh,
well, that would be great.
10 of us who's still able to, you know, get together. So I'll kind of, once we feel safe enough and find a time when you were going to be in Virginia, try to set a date and try to have a get together and celebrate.
Okay, sounds wonderful, Brennan. Yes.
Right. So Vita, thank you so much, and just really enjoyed talking to you, and wish we'd talk more, but let's stay in touch, and
yes.
God bless. You take care.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye.
So,
the end meeting for all.
Okay.